Fashionably late, it's time for our interview with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan. As is customary, the second and fourth Tuesday following Fairhope City Council meetings. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
Oh, wait a minute. There we go. Try that again.
Good morning, Lori.
There you are. Thank you for being here after last night's Fairhope City Council meeting. And before we get to the meeting, let's cover the working waterfront project, which was in the work session. And then there was also, though, an item on the agenda to approve the scope of work and authorize engineering for phase one. Tell us what that is. What's phase one?
Right. So the working waterfront, you know, they've already approved every component of that project except for the accessibility, the ADA and pedestrian accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to bring that back before the council to, you know, get their approval. Basically, with the conceptual plan we have right now, it includes a ramp down the a ramp for, you know, ADA accessibility down the bluff, two sets of staircases, and then obviously the hill. So we had to go back to them and have them approve that component so the engineers could actually start working on a design for us. That's, you know, been very controversial on the working waterfront project, is that ramp and whether we need it or not. And obviously, you know, when you do these federal grants and you're using federal money, and really as a city, we have an obligation to people that do have handicap or maybe use a stroller or have had a knee replacement to provide that access from the top of the bluff. Chris Riley spoke last night, and Chris is in a wheelchair, and mm-hmm. he's on our bike and ped committee, you know, and he made the comment that he's a photographer, lived in Fairhope for, you know, a number of years and has never been able to access the bluff to be able to take photographs from there because there's no wheelchair access. And I think that kind of spoke to a lot of people. You know, look at it from his perspective and not being able to do that when everybody else can do that. So they did agree to pass that phase of it and to look at the ADA, look at the ramp. They did also ask that we maybe look at alternates, which would possibly be an elevator or a lift down the bluff, which I think would be more intrusive than what we, you know, the ramp itself. I thought Goodwin Mills and Kaywood did a good job of showing how you can mask the ramping system, you know, with landscape and with some maybe some railing that's cabling that you can see the greenery through, or you can put, you know, grow greenery up it, or mm-hmm. have a living rail with plants and stuff on it. So I think there are some options. I think that they are going to get creative and come back with a great design. You know, a lot of people have been critical of the city, saying this has not been a transparent process, that, you know, they want to have more input. And that's what these public meetings are. We put it on the work session agenda to discuss. It goes to the council for approval. It will actually come back to the council again for them to approve the design, then come back to the council again for bid approval once the bid goes out on that work. So there is ample time for people to give public comment. If there's something that you wish to get to your city council members or to myself, you are welcome to do that. You're welcome to come to any of these public meetings and give your input and comment.
So the controversy is disturbing the bluff in order to construct the ramp.
Correct.
Is that what people are concerned about?
They are. They're really worried about the erosion that it might cause. And again, Goodwin Mills and Kaywood gave some options last night of how you can start at the top of the bluff and not even touch the bluff itself, and then kind of suspend it on a bridge and then come down with the ramping system. So you just anchor it basically at the bottom and at the top so you don't have to touch the bluff. There's also some options for some, I believe they were called helio pilings that are very less intrusive, and they don't have to use as many of them to be able to, you know, install the ramping system. Again, these are folks who live here. You know, all of them live on the Eastern Shore. A couple of them live in Fairhope. Nobody wants to harm the bluffs or aesthetically have something that's not pleasing down there. I mean, this is a project that's going to be very visual. It's a project that, to be honest, I mean, I'm a little nervous about because, you know, that's such an iconic spot. I'm not going to do anything that is going to take away from the beauty that we have down there. The only thing we want to do is enhance that area and make it, you know, accessible to all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the council approved the resolution last night, and then it's tabled until the next meeting. Is that how it works?
No, because this is not an ordinance.
Okay.
It's just a resolution.
Okay.
So they it will move forward with the design phase. They'll come back and present some designs, Goodwin Mills and Kaywood will, into the council to get their, you know, final input on that. They'll also also ask for them to look at an elevator and maybe a trolley system up and down the bluff to see if that would be possibly something that we could do. I worry about the mechanics of that, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about that. It's probably going to be more intrusive on the bluff to do something like that, and the mechanics in that environment, I just don't know that would be something that we'd mm-hmm. want to look at. So anyway, there's some other options they're going to look at, but it will come back to the council again.
And for those that missed it, they could go to the City of Fairhope's YouTube channel and watch the work session, which you also post the link on the city's Facebook page.
That's correct.
And see that discussion. Yes. And see the diagrams, I suppose.
To be honest, Lori, if we don't follow some timelines on this, we've already had an extension. We're in jeopardy of losing this money, so we really needed to move forward. I mean, it's not very often you get $6 million to do some enhancements to a park that you don't have to match or anything. And granted, mm-hmm. there's a lot of hoops to jump through, but it's important that we move forward with this project and go ahead and make some decisions.
Okay. All right. Anything else in the work session before we move to the actual meeting again? I know we did.
But I don't think so.
Okay. A public hearing number 5. There was a public hearing for a 193-acre, 375-unit neighborhood near 181 called the Waters, near the Water subdivision called Harvest Green.
Correct.
What kind of input did you hear from the public last
night? We really
night?
Didn't have anybody speak out on that. Hunter Simmons gave a presentation on behalf of planning staff, and it was passed unanimously by the Planning Commission. There were some things that contingencies on there, things that they needed to do, but very minor things that Planning Commission asked them to do. But I think this is going to be a great development. Again, that area is growing really fast out there at 181 and 104. But this is 193 acres, 375 homes. It splits 181. They will be a water and sewer customer on both sides of the road.
And they're annexing into the city.
They are annexing into the city. So that means that, we'll get property tax, we'll get obviously additional customers. And the other thing that this development has done is, Silver Hill LLC, or Silver Hill Enterprises LLC, I'm not sure who all that's comprised of, but we've been working with Larry Smith and with Nathan Cox and TerraCore, some Venture 68, the Trueland Homes group. Mm-hmm. They have a couple different development groups that we've been working with, and they've actually donated property for a new fire station out there, which is something that we needed in that corridor. So really appreciate them being community minded. And again, one of the questions that came up last night, are they contributing to our infrastructure? And absolutely. Larry Smith was there, who's the engineer. We've had multiple meetings with not only Larry but the other folks that are developing along that corridor to talk about how we can make sure there's connectivity, to see where we need to put water lines and sewer lines and who can contribute, and lift stations. And we have been working diligently in that area to make sure that we have the infrastructure to meet the growth.
And as Jack Burrell mentioned yesterday, it's better to have this in the city than out.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things is as it's zoned, agricultural or whatever, I mean, there are things that they could do out there next to the Waters, those subdivisions, that the city wouldn't necessarily allow. So by them annexing, it does give us a little bit of control. So it's better for us to have some control over that and them have to go before the Planning Commission and meet the city, standards prior to starting to build and stuff. So it is good for the city.
And plus the revenue generated.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. What else would you like to mention as we go down? I know a lot of the resolutions or ordinances are our housekeeping. Number 11 is where you're going to execute a reciprocal clinic usage agreement. Mm-hmm. And this is the new doctor's clinic that the city is going to provide for employees.
Correct.
Just as Gulf Shores and Foley do. Mm-hmm. And so you're actually going to be able to use each one.
Correct. So, like, if you're in Foley and you want to go to the Foley Clinic, if you're in Gulf Shores, there's one in Robertsdale. I believe there may be one in Bay Minette with Baldwin County Commission. So, and then we'll have the one in Fairhope. So we can use any one of those clinics, and any of their employees can use our clinic. We will not pay for that, obviously. It will be billed to the, whatever municipality or the county that they're from. But it gives us a great opportunity to be able to serve our employees all over the county, and the same with the other folks.
And how is this new medical clinic project going to be paid for?
We are actually I mean, it's being paid for by the city. I mean, it's a contract basis, you know, and it's actually a savings to our insurance plan, to be honest. I mean, we think that this is going to, you know, reduce our costs for prescriptions and for just health care and, you know, really help us with some of the wellness things. You know, employees who might be diabetics or have heart disease, those kind of things, that they don't take time to go to the doctor like they should. We feel like mm-hmm. if we make this more convenient, we can manage some of those chronic illnesses that cost our insurance plan so much money.
Okay. What else would you like to mention that is on the agenda or not? Let's see. I know. Number 24, okay. Amending the budget, and mm-hmm. you're working on the new budget. So tell us an update on that.
Okay, so working on the new budget, we are scheduled to have another work session. We had a work session last week, which I thought went really well. Mm-hmm. We are having another work session before the next council meeting. We're going to start that work session at 4:00, so we have time to review some more of the budget. You know, we've been meeting with council members two by two. To go, you know, two at a time, so we don't break any rules, to go through that, especially with the capital improvements and specifically the utility infrastructure upgrades, because there's a lot of utility infrastructure upgrades right now. I mean, obviously, we're still in the middle of the substation upgrades with the electric department. There is the water and sewer upgrades, and then you've got gas, where we're going to be having a plan engineered to look at our whole gas system and refurbish that system, because when you have something that was built in the 1950s, 1970s, with the growth that we have now, you really need to, you know, reevaluate that and do the upgrades that you need to do. We do not want to be down the road and not have done that. So we're going to be looking at that. So there's just a lot of expense right now with the utilities, but really excited about the budget. That's, I think that, again, we found a good process and feel like the council asked some good questions, but the staff has been fantastic in putting that together, and I just think we have presented a good budget, and hopefully we'll get that passed. If not, at the next meeting, you know, the first meeting in October, that's been my goal, is to get a budget passed in October, because if you put off passing a budget like we have the past several years, you know, it delays a lot of these bigger projects, and mm-hmm. then you get to right now at the end of the fiscal year, and you haven't done some of the projects because there's just not enough time, and especially right now with COVID. I mean, the supply chain is not what it used to be, and so again, a lot of those projects, a lot of the equipment that you want to purchase, you're not able to do that because of just the supply chain issues we're having right now.
What was your mayor's report? The second item on the agenda is always report of the mayor. Would you like to share any of that with us?
I had two proclamations that I presented last night. One was for childhood cancer awareness, because it's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and then the other one was for Constitution Week. So I did that. Talked about the comprehensive planned meeting coming up next week, on the public meeting on Wednesday, September 22nd. Encourage everybody to come out. You know, we hear probably one of the biggest complaints you hear or I hear is how much we're growing. You know, how fast we're growing, all the traffic. Well, this is everybody's chance to have input into how Fairhope grows into the future. You know, we have a comprehensive plan right now that, you know, some people don't agree with. They don't like it, which is fine, but this gives them the opportunity to have a voice in what that plan is going to be going forward. So really excited to have, you know, the opportunity to revamp that plan.
And a comprehensive land use plan is like glimpsing to the future of how you want something to develop, but there's no teeth in it, is there? There's no authoritative.
There's not, but it gives the staff a good playbook. I think that's the thing. If there's a playbook, and I won't say there isn't any teeth, because some part of this is us looking at some zoning that we have and some different rules and regulations to kind of revamp some of that.
So there could be.
So, but again, it's a great playbook for us to have. And again, it gives us the chance to get that community input. That's the most important part of this to me, is to get that community engagement. And I don't want people to feel like, you know, they come and their voice isn't heard. I mean, this is going to be a brand new plan. It's going to be something that we're going to, you know, publicize. It's going to be out on, you know, out there for everybody to see. It's going to be our playbook for the future. And so, you know, I encourage everybody who wants to get involved to get involved in it.
Okay. And that meeting again is next Wednesday, September 22nd, 6 until 8 p.m. at the Nick Center.
And Lori, I just also want to mention, we're going to be doing several focus groups with different, you know, different groups, you know, planners, developers, education, bike and ped, realtors, just different folks to make sure we get a lot of input, downtown merchants, you know, some of those specific areas, HOAs. But we're also going to offer some virtual options, and we'll be doing public engagement through February of 22. So people who miss, you know, this right now, don't think that that's your last chance. We're going to be releasing some information on websites and email addresses and mm-hmm. all that kind of good stuff. This is just the initial meeting.
Okay, very okay? good. What else from the meeting would you like to mention? Anything?
There's a couple like event type stuff that I'd love to mention that we talked about last night. One thing is Alabama Coastal Cleanup this Saturday.
Oh, yes.
At the pier from 8 to 12. So we invite everybody to come out for that.
You just show up at 8 a.m. and you'll get garbage bags and gloves or whatnot to help clean up.
Yes. And we're going to be feeding you. We'll give you a hot dog and some a bottle of water and some chips. The other thing I wanted to mention was that, you know, we have some road closures right now. That Twin Beach area, we still have the west side. Yes, the west side of the road closed. There were putting those turn lanes in. So, and then obviously Church Street, we still have some closures there. And that intersection at Magnolia is going to be closing on Monday, and it will be closed for just a little over a month. So before they move to the next section of Church, so we want people to be aware of that and be mindful that that road will be closing at 8 a.m. on Monday morning for probably about 6 weeks.
And that's going to be closing North Church from Magnolia to Fairhope Avenue. They tell us that through traffic is prohibited. Local business traffic can access the parking garage. Mm-hmm. And then this is the project that will continue on Church all the way to Fells, because it's where the main water pipes are, right?
It's storm drain and utility infrastructure projects, so mainly gas. But yes, it is it's a large project. As we knew from the beginning, it's at least an 18-month project. But and anytime you open the ground up in Fairhope, especially in downtown, because you know it's just aging, you find things you just didn't know were there.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
a treasure hunt.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Let's see, comprehensive plan, the Church Street improvement projects. Anything else that you want to mention that we haven't thought to ask? I know I asked Jack Burrell about number 16 mm-hmm. because the cost caught my eye. $300,000 for an extension of a contract for sewer main point repair and bypass connections. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's a lot of money.
That's an emergency contract. So that would be if we have an emergency main break or something happens that we do not have the equipment or the manpower to handle at that time. They do a lot of the bigger projects, again, where we might not have the equipment. But that is strictly for emergencies. And so, again, when you're dealing with infrastructure, I mean, you never know what could come up that you're going to have to call somebody. So it's great to have those on-call folks that we know we can call them. They know our system, and they can come in. It's nothing like the overall improvements we're looking at. It strictly would be an emergency. Like if we had a main break we couldn't handle or something that we could not handle, we would call them in.
So, but is the annual cost of $300,000, is that...
It's not to exceed.
Not to exceed?
Right.
So
not to exceed.
Each time you call them, they would
correct.
Bill the city.
Correct.
And then not, okay,
right.
not to exceed.
And typically
okay.
we provide, a lot of times, if we have the pipe and stuff, we can provide the materials. So a lot of times we're just being billed for the labor. Mm-hmm. But again, they have equipment that we don't have for some of these larger, you know, infrastructure projects. So that's the other reason we might use them, if it's something mm-hmm. that we just didn't have the equipment to do.
Oh, and I'm watching a sidewalk be built on Nichols.
Isn't that exciting?
From section to, I guess, to what will become, you know, Ingleside
right,
and Young
right.
and whatnot. So that's good.
It is good. That's a single tax project. Single tax is
okay.
doing that. So really happy. I think there's a lot of people who've been looking for that connectivity on mm-hmm. Nichols. So especially with all the churches in that area being able to walk and stuff. So really excited about that. And Nichols is just, it's a busy street. Especially with Warehouse Bakery and all those businesses on the other end. I mean, it really is busy. So glad to see that sidewalk going in for the safety of the pedestrians.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, because it's one guy mm-hmm. and his excavator-type machine.
Right.
And I thought, how is
yes.
that? So it's a single tax project.
It is. Okay. The other thing I will mention, too, is on Ingleside, most folks know that just on Ingleside, just north of Gayfer on Ingleside, we had a storm drain that has failed there due to some rains from Ida. And so we put a Band-Aid on that. So I know people were probably like, great, they don't have to close the street. We put a Band-Aid on it. It's duct tape, according to Richard Johnson. But we did get approval last night to move forward with that project. So that area will also be closed to repair that storm drain. So it, you know, again, just for the safety of all, just going to get that repaired. And if anybody has any, you know, we'll be communicating that out for everybody to know when that's going to happen.
Okay. Oh, I know. We want to remind folks of the Fall Farmers Market kicking off this week.
Thursday. That's right. On Thursday, Fall Farmers Market. I can't believe it's already fall.
I know.
And it doesn't feel like fall outside, but certainly it is. And excited to have that kicking back off again.
And it's 3 until 6 every Thursday through November.
Through basically the tree lighting. That first week of
November 11th.
Uh-huh, which is going to be Veterans Day. So, yeah, really excited to have that. And, again, it'll be through tree lighting. And we've already started working on tree lighting. So, folks will see people downtown trimming up trees, getting ready to put those lights up. So,
Time is flying.
It is. It's flying.
Time is absolutely flying. And I guess, do you want to wrap up with, I asked this question yesterday of Jack. Does President Biden's order affect municipalities?
It does not. It's not for local and state government. So we do not have to, we do not fall within those guidelines. We have already researched that just to make sure.
Good. Yeah. Because I think the concern could have been federal funding would be attached to that if you disobey.
Yeah, no. And the very first day that came out, I had the media like contacting me saying, can you comment on this? And so I made sure I went back and read it, make sure, you know, I interpret it correctly. But yes, no, we do not have to follow those guidelines. And obviously, you know, we are offering the incentives for vaccines for our employees. That came up last night. We do our first payout for that this Friday. Right now, we're at probably about 35% of our employees that are fully vaccinated. They're going to take advantage of that that incentive this Friday. There's two more payouts. So, you know, we have a number of employees who have one vaccine, but just not the second one. And so they'll get paid out in the second round. And we've had close to 55, 60 employees who since July have had COVID. So you cannot get the shot within a certain time window. So, I mean, that's, again, a good number of folks that can't, if they're not vaccinated, which 95% of those folks were not vaccinated, that were COVID positive, that work for the city, then they have to wait a little bit to get their shot. So,
okay. Do you want to address, I saw this online when I was actually out of town, a billing error with the utilities.
Yes. So we use a third party vendor to print our bills. It's a print vendor. So we upload a file, send it to them. They have recently sold to another company. So we had some delays in our billing, like for the cycles, you know, I think it's the first, 15th and 25th or something like that. We had about a 5-day delay in those billings. And then we had some delinquent notices that went out that there were some discrepancies on. So again, nothing that, we don't have discrepancies in our system. There's no data breaches or anything like that. It was simply an issue with the print vendor because they have recently, again, changed hands or sold, and there were some issues there. So a lot of confusion, to be honest. But, you know, our system is correct. So anytime somebody has a question about their bill or they don't think, you know, it's correct, they just need to call City Hall, and we're happy to take care of that for them.
Okay, very good. All right, well, and congratulations to the Fairhope Pirates are in order.
Yes, gosh, they're doing so well.
Daphne and Foley. So we're in the top 10 for the state. Right?
So excited. We have, you know, and St. Michael's has been ranked.
Yes.
So we are just really fortunate in Fairhope to have some good football right now. So really excited, of course, about the Pirates always. But there's just such an energy right now at the stadium, too, with the improvements and the handicap accessibility and then the new Jumbotron.
Right.
And it's just so fun to be out there and be around everybody and all the kids and the parents and just, again, all the excitement. That's just something that the city can be really proud of, and so proud of our recreation staff and our departments for pulling together to get that project done.
And finally, you're in communication, I would imagine, with infirmary healthcare system officials concerning COVID and what's going on here in Fairhope.
The numbers are dropping. They are, you know, the hospital is still at a high capacity rate right now. I think yesterday they were maybe at 35 folks in-house with COVID, and I think 7 on vents, and they have, and 95% or 96% of those were not vaccinated. I think their frustration is just like everybody else, the people that they are continuing to see to come in that are not vaccinated. But yes, their numbers are dropping. I don't think, you know, we want to make sure people understand that they, you know, do not let your guard down. You know, still do the things that you know that you need to do. Still, you know, wear your mask, social distance, protect yourself. We're coming up on the holiday season. We don't want that to, you know, to have to cancel things again this year. So, again, just be diligent. Just because the numbers are dropping does not mean that you should let your guard down.
Correct.
And that's, I think, the message they've been trying to get out, that yes, we are seeing numbers drop across the board. But again, it's, you know, I think Fairhope saw, or at least the South Alabama saw the increase in COVID before other parts of the country did, because we had such a low vaccination rate. And I think one thing that that means is that we're going to see issues with supply chain again. We're going to see issues with, you know, different events getting canceled in other parts of the country simply because they had a higher vaccination rate than we did. So we saw a spike before anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you, Mayor. We're just about out of time, but I think we've covered everything that
we
you
have
got to cover.
Okay. Thank you, Lori.
Very comprehensive. You're so welcome. Thank you for your time. Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us here at WABF. If you missed part of that or you want to tell a friend, you can listen later. Generally, our interviews are posted by lunchtime at WABF1480.com.